Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Well, thanks. I'm Dr. Tim, and with me on the broadcast today is a special friend, Dr. Rob Pacienza. He's the senior pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He's also the CEO and president of Coral Ridge Ministries. Rob is the founder of the Institute for Faith and Culture, and he serves as a board member for the National Religious Broadcasters, NRB. His new book out called How Firm a Foundation. We're going to jump into that today as we focus on our faith for this holiday season. Welcome, Dr. Pacienza.
It's a real privilege.
Hey, as we get started, Rob, happy Thanksgiving to you. And it's a time, I think, where we come together as families. Hey, as a nation, to reflect on the goodness and grace of God. While we know there are a lot of challenging issues and things happening in our country right now, there's a lot to be thankful for, Rob. Just some reflections from you on where you think we're at and where we're going as a nation.
Certainly. And thank you once again for having me on. When I think about this Thanksgiving in particular, and particularly on the eve of the 250th birthday of America, there's been a lot of talk about making America great again. But I think we need to remember what made America great in the first place. It was the providential hand of God. Before there was a Declaration of Independence, there was a great awakening and a revival. And I really do believe that as we enter into 2026, with grateful hearts, I think we have an opportunity again to seek the favor and the wisdom of God, to humble ourselves as a people, and to be grateful for what God is doing. Because I think what we see, not only in Washington, D.C., but in the heartland of America, pastors rising up and speaking biblical truth, seeing more and more young people coming to church, Bible reading is up. Bible sales are up. So much to be thankful for. I think we are seeing the beginning of a movement of taking this nation back, not through political strength, but crying out to Almighty God to make our nation great again.
A lot of people are asking, Rob, do you think faith will shape the next chapter of our country? Because there is so much happening, and you're right. I saw some Barna research that came out and said, in particular, young men are coming back, to God, or coming to Christ, and how exciting it is. A lot of people are talking about revival in our country. I think I'm seeing a lot of it, but just your reflections.
Absolutely. I think faith has to play a role in it. I actually believe that we're nearing the end of secularism, that age that we experienced particularly in the West and in America, that said, believe whatever you want to believe, get God out of the public square, get God out of the public education. And we're moving into a very interesting time in our nation where I either believe the what I call neo-paganism, all of the ideologies that we're seeing coming out of the progressive left, or it's going to be a Christian worldview that takes a hold of the public square, takes a hold of our cultural centers of influence. And I am hopeful as we're seeing young men return to church, we're seeing, as I said before, pastors speaking out boldly from the pulpit. I am praying that it's Christianity and the Christian worldview that shaped this nation 250 years ago that rises to the top and fills that void and fills the bankruptcy that secularism has left us with here in America.
We came through some pretty tough years, Rob. It got dark, and people of faith were being pressed at every turn, even branded as domestic terrorists and being put in prison. People worried about were their kids going to grow up in an America that they grew up in. Rob, we're seeing also some pretty significant pushback, some raging left stuff, rising violence. Obviously, the assassination of our friend Charlie Kirk and what happened there. I know that really was in your heart. And people have this fear piece at the same time. It's like this this faith factor and this fear factor, because they're concerned about the open borders and terrorists, possibly being in our bedroom communities, things like that. All those factors come together, and they're kind of waiting for the next proverbial shoe to fall. But at the same time, there's an energy or excitement about, hey, maybe God's doing something in America 250, and faith is coming back. And Rob, how do you temper that? How do you encourage people?
Well, the good thing is we don't have to open up or develop a new playbook. We actually open up the playbook, the ultimate playbook, that was written by God himself. And it's in the word that we find the answer. We find the antidote to fear. And the answer to fear is the presence of God. It's relying on our faith. It's having a spirit of thanksgiving and supplication that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we want to drive away the fear. We want to drive away anxiety. We don't have to look to a new age spiritual guru to tell us how to do that. We look to God's word and we say, God, will you fill me with your presence? Will you fill me with faith? Will I learn to practice gratitude? I just got done talking to our church staff, our church Thanksgiving feast that we have every year. And I talked about the importance of practicing gratitude, not just one day a year, but every day a year. The more we practice gratitude, the more our faith increases, the more our anxiety decreases, and we are filled with the presence of Almighty God that Paul promises will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
You know, when the pilgrims landed in Plymouth Rock and they were so grateful, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be bold and courageous back in those days, Rob, but they came in with the Native Americans and came together for that very first feast, I guess you would say, and people regarded it as the first Thanksgiving in 1621, but religious liberty, that's what they were pursuing, and they wanted to honor and thank God for his goodness and grace. When you look at Thanksgiving, you have to step back and realize this is an American tradition is what it's all about, and it's anchored in what? Our faith. That's what this is about. Rob, your reflections on Thanksgiving, you just spoke to your team there, but I know as a pastor, what are you sharing with your people?
Well, I think the secular left would have us believe that the first Thanksgiving was a feast of oppression, a feast of prosperity. But when you read the journals, when you read the early writings of our fathers, our pilgrim fathers, we see that it was a feast of providence. Providence of Almighty God, recognizing that the only way, the only explanation for how the pilgrims could have survived escaping England, eventually escaping Holland, crossing the Atlantic and into the New World, the only explanation is the providential hand of Almighty God. And so we need to remember that that's what Thanksgiving is rooted in, a celebration of God's providence for our first founding fathers, the pilgrims, then our founding fathers in the 18th century, and we need to, 250 years later, continue to be grateful for the providential hand of God. This is not only an American holiday, it is a Christian holiday where we are celebrating the right to freely exercise our religion and relying on the providence of God throughout every season of this nation.
Rob, we know the holidays are upon us, and it's a wonderful time of the year. It can also be a pretty challenging time, difficult time for some. Maybe they're coming into this particular Thanksgiving, the guests around the table, family around the table, maybe there's someone missing. They're going through a season of difficulty financially or whatever it is. You know, you're only a phone call away from a disaster. As a pastor, how do you encourage people to kind of rise above it, maybe put a bridge over it, which is so hard?
I think it's a great question, and it's important why we not only practice gratitude and thanksgiving the last Thursday in November, but why as Christians in particular, we need to practice gratitude 365 days a year. Gratitude is such an important virtue, not only for the American citizen, but for the Christian. This is something that has guided the people of God. We see in the Old and New Testament scriptures, as soon as the people of God forgot about God and they forgot about the hand of God and the provision of God, they began to grumble, they began to complain, and they began to sin, they began to stumble. But as soon as they continued to remember about God and they practiced gratitude, it protected their heart and their mind, it protected their soul. So I would say this is the reason why we need to always be reflective of how God has provided. why we need to be practicing gratitude all the time, because it's on your worst day where maybe you fail to believe that God is for you, that you're able to go back to that reservoir of memories and that reservoir of gratitude that you've been practicing and be reminded, no, it's a lie of the devil that God's against me if I'm in Christ, that God is for me on my best days, God is for me on my worst days, but it's practicing gratitude all the time that trains our heart and mind to not allow it to despair and not allow it to go into dark places. I think this is all the more the reason why we need to cling to Christ. And I would just say to your audience, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that this would be a moment where you can look to him by faith, that the world is hard, that life is full of struggles, but it's through Jesus that he allows us not only to be sustained and to survive, but thrive in this life and flourish in this life with life to the full, both now and forever.
My dad, who was a pastor for nearly 60 years in the hills of central Pennsylvania, Rob, he would say, Tim, go with God, go with him, and he will see you through. And he looked at me, and when he was in his that phase where God was taking him home, he said, Tim, it's because of him I'll see you again. And we hold on to that hope. That's what this is all about. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here, along with my son, Dr. Zach Clinton. Our special guest today is senior pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He's the CEO and president of Coral Ridge Ministries, and he's the founder of the Institute for Faith and Culture, Dr. Rob Pacienza. Rob, again, great conversation going on. Rob, I noticed that you came out this summer with a new book on biblical worldview. A lot of people are talking about biblical worldview, that we've got to dial in. Some people are saying, too, as you look at the whole political landscape piece, they're saying faith hasn't moved into the political world. The political world has moved into the faith world.
And worldview is so important because at the end of the day, it's not a matter of whether you have a worldview or not. You do have a worldview. The question is, what's informing it? And for every Christian, it is imperative that their worldview is informed by the infallible word of God. The Apostle Paul talks about destroying strongholds, but not destroying strongholds like the world does, but by using divine power, which is found in his word. And so when we think about the divine strongholds today, progressive Christianity, secularism, LGBTQ movement, cultural Marxism, the list goes on and on. We need a biblical worldview to confront the cultural idols and lies of our day, but we need to confront it with biblical truth. And even when it comes to politics, because at the end of the day, all of these issues, as you just said, are deeply moral issues that are rooted in God's word. The progressive left for years have tried to convince us with a lie, stay out of politics, just stick to the gospel, stick to preaching, stick to your Christian faith. But that's a lie. Before they were political, they're moral issues. And because they're moral issues, they're grounded in absolute truth. And so we're long past due where pastors and churches and denominations and everyday Christians are waking up prepared with a biblical worldview to confront the cultural idols of their day.
A lot of people are saying, like, transgender ideology in our school systems, that they're not educating, they're indoctrinating. In other words, they have a worldview. They're peddling that worldview is what they're doing. They're railroading it. And so if people don't understand that, they're missing the whole point here. I mean, it's just, it dials into exactly what do we believe? What do we hold as truth, Rob? And you've got to get that figured out.
Absolutely. Nebuchadnezzar did it in 3 years in Babylon. We do it in 4 years in America in our institutions of higher education. But it's a reminder that there's nothing new under the sun. Every pagan ideology, every pagan religion, whether it was thousands of years ago or today in the 21st century, has always tried to corrupt and indoctrinate the next generation. If we can destroy the next generation, if we can destroy the nuclear family, if we can capture the hearts and the minds of the young people, we can win the war. And unfortunately, the church has been silent for far too long as we've continued to retreat. As I said before, we bought the lie that we're just supposed to stick to our holy huddle on Sunday morning and not allow our faith to shape all of life. But when we look at the last 150 years, Darwinian evolution, Marxism, then cultural Marxism, we shouldn't be surprised when our institutions, whether it's mainstream media, whether it's our institutions of higher education, or even the political sphere, have been totally corrupted because we've bought the lie of pagan ideologies for far too long. And a lot of it has to do with a church that's not equipped with a biblical worldview.
Rob, do you sense a hunger in the church in this direction? I know a lot of people are talking about the difference between knowing about God and knowing with God. In other words, you are journeying with God, becoming a real disciple of Christ, not just simply a follower. That you've got to press in and you've got to begin to understand the ways of God. That's why he's given us the gift of his word and the guidance of his spirit in these matters.
I'm seeing a true hunger, and it's what gives me hope for a revival and a great awakening in this nation. Anywhere I travel, people are hungry. They're asking me, as I'm sure they're asking you all the time, I'm scared to death to raise my children in this culture.
I know.
What's going to happen next? Give me the tools. Show me what to read. How should I be prepared? How should I be equipping my children and my grandchildren? And then we're seeing it, a microcosm of it at our church, Coral Ridge Presbyterian, right here in Fort Lauderdale. We're seeing people just coming hungry for the word, joining our church, young people coming out of the woodwork, saying, we always thought it wasn't cool to be a Christian. We always thought, you know, we might be canceled, but we don't care anymore. We don't care if the world's going to cancel us. We don't care if we're going to be written off. We want the tools. We want the apologetic. We want the resources to be equipped to push back against our liberal college professor, to push back against the DEI policies in my company and in the marketplace, and to be a courageous citizen. We all remember Charlie Kirk as that happy warrior that stood boldly, even in the face of persecution.
This new book released this past summer, How Firm a Foundation, 8 Essential Truths That Form a Bedrock of an Unshakable Biblical Worldview. I want to touch just a couple of issues in there, Rob, and tell us why they were significant and how they applied. Let's go to the issue of creation. A lot of people debate back and forth about creation versus evolution. Did God create the world in, 7 days or whatever, 6 days, and seventh day rested, or was it thousands of years, etc.? You say that impacts how we look at life. Explain that to us.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, a lot of people, even inside the church, look at the issue of creation and evolution as simply a scientific debate or a scientific issue, but it has great moral and cultural implications for society. Darwin, don't be mistaken, was not just trying to advance a scientific theory. He was trying to advance a godless, atheistic worldview that unfortunately did shape an entire society and continues to shape it for the worse. It was actually Karl Marx and Engels that when they found Darwin's theory of evolution, they said, finally, we have the answer for origins that will help us advance a godless society. And we've been reaping the horrendous consequences ever since. I often tell our congregation that we should not be surprised with the rise of mental illness, with the rise of school shootings, with the rise of depression. We have been raising and indoctrinating generation after generation in this nation to believe that they are nothing more than a cosmic accident. What do we expect when we have been training them and teaching them that there is no God, there is no inherent value, there is no inherent worth, you're a random accident, there is no purpose, there is no ultimate destiny? That's why the doctrine of creation is so important. In the beginning, God is one of the most foundational statements, if not the most foundational statement, that a person can ever understand. In the beginning is God, not you. He's the main character in the story. And if you don't get that right, you'll not get anything else right in life and in society.
Rob, we just had 7,200 counselors and pastors at our AACC World Conference in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel. Fascinating time. What was really front and center was the issue of faith. Obviously should be Christian counseling. But no. What I'm talking about is faith in the research. You've got leading researchers out of Duke, Harold Koenig, Tyler Vanderweil out of Harvard. They showed up at our World Conference presenting their irrefutable research that faith absolutely matters, 100%. That's exactly what we're talking about. You're seeing this come alive in different ways. But the sanctity of life issue, Rob, has always been an issue. People, you know, go back and forth about, you know, the abortion debate. But life is so much more than that, too. It is the life, pro-life movement, how important that is. But, Rob, this is about everything that pertains to who we are.
Absolutely. If we believe that God is the creator of life and that life begins at the moment of conception, that this is what gives us inherent dignity and worth, that we are created in the image of God, then how can that this not be one of the most pressing issues of our day? As I often say, to not only make abortion illegal, but to make it unthinkable in our nation. And that's why I dedicated a chapter that we have to have a biblical worldview of human life. There's been a lot of talk in this nation the last few years about justice and equality. But as I often say, we don't have a chance as a nation of being a just nation if we can't protect the most vulnerable. And who are the most vulnerable? Those that literally cannot protect themselves, the child in the womb. So I'm all about justice, but it begins with protecting a child from the moment of conception, and eradicating this lie that abortion is healthcare, that abortion is about a woman's right to choose. No, it's not my body, my choice. It is two bodies that need to be protected, and the church needs to stand in the gap.
And that clarity matters, I'm telling you. And I love the fact that the younger generation are really embracing this and standing for life. It's just amazing to me. Rob, I want to close this way. Charlie Kirk died with a microphone in his hand. He was martyred. He was killed, assassinated with a microphone in his hand. With a mantra, though, that said, hey, I want to be known as someone who was courageous for my faith. Been thinking a lot about that at a personal level. I knew Charlie pretty well. Just want some closing words from you. In these hours, these days, we need to raise up a generation who would be strong and stand and not bow the knee, but stand boldly and champion the cause of Christ.
We need modern-day Daniels. We need Daniels that don't run from the darkness. He didn't run away from Babylon. He ran into the darkness. He ran into Nebuchadnezzar's court. He served faithfully. But I love that verse in chapter 1. But Daniel resolved to not eat of the king's food or drink of the king's drink. We need happy warriors like Charlie Kirk, young men and women that are running into modern-day Babylon. They're running into the public square. They're running into the institutions of higher education. They're running for office. They're getting involved, not just at a national level, but a local level. But most importantly, they're willing to be outspoken about Christ and that Christ is King. And my prayer in this year coming up, 2026, where we celebrate the goodness of America and the exceptional story that we've experienced as a nation for 250 years, that we would remember that this nation started with a revival. This nation started with a great awakening. This nation started with bold biblical teaching and young men and women that were willing to risk their lives so they could celebrate Christ freely, not only in private, but in public. The fight, the cause for religious freedom and religious liberty continues. And I pray that God would raise up young men and women that are willing to take a stand, no matter what the cost.
Oh, God, let that be true of all of us. This book, Pastor Pazienza's new book, How Firm a Foundation, 8 Essential Truths That Form the Bedrock of an Unshakable Biblical Worldview. Mom, Dad, you need to have this book. You need to be in it. You need to get this book for your kids. This is an hour. It is time to rise up and to be bold and courageous for our faith. Dr. Pazienza, if people want to learn more about you, maybe how to get a copy of this book, your ministries, where can they go?
Coral Ridge Ministries. You can find us at crm.tv. There you can purchase our book, find out all about all of our television specials, documentaries, and podcasts. You can also go to our streaming platform at watch.crm.tv. We have a number of resources for the church in America to help them be equipped to engage the culture for Jesus Christ.
On behalf of my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we're going to pray that God will continue to strengthen your voice in this hour. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Your routine is either creating the life you desire or cementing the one you're trying to leave behind. You see, routines aren't neutral. Over time, they become rituals of transformation or stagnation. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That renewing happens through daily habits, not traumatic events. Clinically, our brains crave repetition. It's how habits are hardwired. But if your routine is built around survival patterns from your past, you'll repeat history instead of writing a new one. Change begins with your choices, especially the ones no one sees. So audit your routine and choose one habit that reflects who you're becoming, not just who you've been, and make it a part of your daily rhythm. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.